Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6. It's great, great being a Christian, amen, and living to please our Lord. There's a verse in Revelation in chapter 4 and verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and they were created." It's a blessing to be in church. It's a blessing to speak His Word and receive His Word. We all have a part in the service. We're praying, we're worshiping, we're praising, we're showing our gratitude to the Lord. And He meets every need, doesn't He? He's a good God. We mentioned your testimony, Wendy. Thank you for having the strength to give that. That was a blessing to many people. In Isaiah chapter 6, we're having the Lord's Supper today. And the Lord's Supper tells us to examine ourselves, but it also tells us to remember what He's done for us. And we need that combination. We are sinners, but we're saved by grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And God always puts that in the equation. But you have to see who you are to see who He is. Amen. He's a wonderful Savior. The songs say it. The scriptures say it. We can praise Him all the time, but this is the prophet Isaiah, and I want to read one verse. This is verse 5 of chapter 6. It says, "Then said I." We're going to look at what that "then" stands for. Usually I read the context, but we'll cover that as we go through the scripture. "Then said I, woe is me, I am undone." This is the prophet. And he says, "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Same thing happened to John. He fell down before the Lord. The same thing that's happened to so many Christians. When we realize who God is, we bow before Him. Amen. And we thank Him for His mercy and His grace. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful today for what the scriptures mean to us, for what your Son means to us. Thank you for the great, so great a salvation. And I pray that you bless your word as it's spoken, as it's preached, as it's received, and may it bring forth life. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Woe is me. Woeful means sorrowful, distressed, with grief, or calamity, afflicted. Not a good term. Amen. When somebody says, woe is me, that's really not a good attitude. That's not something that you want to have. Psalm 120 and verse 5, the psalmist said, "Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar." And there's a text to that. There's a understanding of that. But the commentaries, Matthew Henry says, "It is very grievous to a good man to be cast into and kept in the company of the wicked, from whom he hopes to be forever separated. See here the character of a good man, for he is living peaceably with all men." But he's woe is me because of that, all the sorrow that he had to go through. The psalmist said in another place, "When I am for peace, they are for war." And we find that true in sometimes relationships. But he also says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 31, Jeremiah the prophet says, "Woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers." The wrong crowd. Certainly you'd woe is me if you were in the mix with a bunch of murderers. I remember when I was starting a church in Portage, I got a part-time job for the city, and I drove a city bus in Kalamazoo. Yippee, boy, that was a great time. And because of my low seniority, I got the worst route at night in the hardest part of the city. And I remember driving through some of those places just begging God, get me through this, get me through another night. But sometimes people got on the bus and I said, woe is me, you know. But in Jeremiah 45 and verse 3, he says the same thing, different circumstances. He said, "Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest because of the judgment on Israel." But he was the prophet. And so he's ministering to them, he's preaching to them, he's telling them what God says, but they're not responding to it. Woe is me. Micah said the same thing. Micah chapter 7 verse 1. "Woe is me, For I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. No fruit. There wasn't any fruit. And Micah goes on, it says about Micah, that Ellicott has in his book. Micah gives here a fearful picture of the demoralized state of society in Judah, which had called down the vengeance of God, as the early fig gathered in June is eagerly sought for by the traveler. So the prophet sought anxiously for a good man. But his experience was that of the psalmist. And the psalmist said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. Help, Lord. And we pray that today, you know, in our society. Again, a demoralized state of society. Gill writes, woe is me, alas for me, unhappy that I, man that I am, to live in such an age and among such people as I do. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy. I want to read some verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Christian fellowship is so wonderful. But what fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath sin with godliness, godly holiness? There is none. And sometimes we say, we're grieved in the spirit, and we say, woe is me. But this is our society. Speaking with Matt and Vern before the service, and a lot has changed in the last 20 years. A lot has changed in the last 10 years. A lot has changed since last year. And, you know, society, where is God? But God is there for us, and that's a blessing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, cruel, merciless, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And it goes on and describes the last days. And I believe we're living in the last days. I believe the Lord's coming soon. How long? I don't know the answer to that. Does it have to get worse? It may. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So those days are ahead for us. I wish it was a different message, but the message I'm giving is there's heaven. Amen. And one day we'll all be there, and there's no sin that can enter into heaven. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. In our text, this is it again, Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was a preacher before he saw this vision. He was already a preacher, but this vision humbled him and revealed something to him, and we're going to look at that. I really want to be right with the Lord. I'm sure that's your prayer too. We want God to guide our lives. We want to please Him in all that we do. That's why I read that verse in Revelation. We are created for His pleasure. Amen? We are created. I mean, He's done so much for us. He's died on a cross for us. He's prepared a home for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if He goes, He's going to prepare a place for us. So that is a blessing to all of us. Moses had 40 years of thinking he was somebody, 40 years thinking he was nobody, and then the last 40 years thinking God can make somebody out of a nobody. Amen. But it took that humility. It took him seeing God and knowing God for that to happen. Isaiah's purpose in the scripture is found in Isaiah 1:18 with the nation. You don't have to read there. I'll turn there. I'll just read it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's the Lord's favorite word. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to Him. Amen. He has the answers. He has the help. He has the strength. He has whatever we need. We come to Him in prayer. A preacher is used of God to bring lost souls to Christ, to teach the Bible that the saints might grow in grace and knowledge, and to expose the wiles of the devil. He is supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, and I try to do that. We try to go through the Bible. But there's a lot of emphasis on living to please the Lord, on holy living, on following God. Amen? And so we're going to see a little bit of that today. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. That is right to do, but there needs to be grace and mercy and long-suffering with that. If you're still in the book of Isaiah, go back to, let's see, Isaiah chapter 3. Let's take a look, a condensed look at Isaiah's ministry, okay? He's fulfilling what God told him to do. We have in verse 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. He's talking about those who are not living for God. Verse 11, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given. Look over at chapter 5, and look with me at verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, and it's about covetousness. Verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue all night till wine inflame them. Look down at verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. Verse 20. Woe unto them. You get the idea here? Woe unto them. Boy, this is wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. This is a message from God, and he's giving it. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. We only have 40 more of these. I'm kidding. Just a couple. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Chapter 6, verse 5. Woe is me. Something changed his message. Woe is this, woe are you, woe is that. And then he says, woe is me. Again, let's read the verse. Then said I, woe is me. He's seen the Lord. Let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. We sang the song. Do you ever find when you sing a song, it's just kind of mundane? You know, it's not a peppy song. I've sung it before. My mind's wandering about something rather than, this is so precious. I get to sing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen? There's songs that I'll sing to my wife and songs that she sings to me. They're familiar songs, and I won't tell you what they are. Amen? But we do that. And every time we sing that, it's special because your heart is in it. Amen? And so sometimes when we go through the hymn book is all about him. It's not about how we sound. It's not about any of that. It's just about praise and glory to him. And this says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me. I am unclean. I am a man of unclean lips. It took the emphasis off what he saw in the people and put the emphasis on what he saw in himself. And this is really an important point to the message today. You can get so busy seeing sin in other people that you miss seeing it in yourself. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Well, I'm not as bad as they are. You know, and the focus leaves you. Well, I'm doing pretty good. And yet there's this personal responsibility with the Lord. In Luke chapter 18, turn over to Luke chapter 18, if you will. Luke chapter 18. This message is going to end really good. Amen. Just want to tell you it's a blessing. But Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Are you there yet? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Boy, there's a great divide, isn't there? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this guy, even as this publican. He prayed with himself, as God didn't hear that prayer. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I thank thee, God, that I'm not like that man. My wife and I, we were driving somewhere. We did a lot of traveling at one point in our ministry. And we drove by a house, and it was a mess. And, I mean, just a mess. You could tell the yard was a mess. There's all kinds of stuff in the yard, and the house was a mess. And that's when my wife and I became slob judges. So we're driving down the road. Boy, look at that house. Look at how they came. And you don't even know what the circumstances are. Amen? And we corrected that. The Lord spoke to us about it. But that's the name we gave ourselves so we could identify with judging somebody else. Amen? We're not supposed to do that. And we'll see. We'll have the scripture to back it up. But when you think of, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy, it takes all the emphasis off of you. Do you understand the point there? Why is that story even in the Bible? Well, because we're lost sinners, we're saved sinners, and we all need God. Isaiah's focus wasn't woe is me because of them. It was woe is me because of me. And that's an important thing. Imagine all the years he spent in his ministry condemning others. I've been preaching 45 years, and I remember when I first started, it was my mentor said, you got to tell them what's wrong, tell them what's wrong. And you do have, but that's balanced. Amen? You need to know what's wrong so you can do what's right. But if it's all wrong, then anything you do for the Lord, it's just guilt. And I don't believe God does that. But anyway, all those years, but he didn't see something in himself. That type of Christianity is not good. I remember when we were pastoring in Sturgis, and I was there a long time. I was there 30 years. I say that for benefit of the visitor. But the early years, people would, in our church would come and say, you know, I saw so-and-so in Walmart, and they weren't dressed right. And I saw so-and-so, and I saw, and they were telling on each other. Of course, I had to preach against that, but that's just in people, you know. There's a little thing we used in Sunday school last week, a little Norman Rockwell painting. It's out on the bulletin board, and it's one person telling another person about somebody, and then them telling somebody, and them telling somebody. You got to take a look at it. It's really a blessing. Amen. Come on, we have visitors. Amen? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. They are with me to some degree. Amen. There are seven times in the Bible where the term aha, aha is used. And that's what it's like. Aha, I see what's wrong. Aha. And that's a bad spirit to have. You just go around judging people, and then you'll miss the blessing of examining yourself. Who are you really? How did you get there? What does God think about that? How will he help you? Not just help somebody else. There's nothing wrong with praying for other people. Amen? But what about us? What about me? I thought about this long and hard. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:28. This is included in that. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 31, same context. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Remember the Lord's death until he come. Remember what he did for you. He died for your sins. Amen? You can't get saved until you become lost. You have to recognize you're lost and without Christ before you ask Him into your life and to save you from your sin. Amen. And that's what He has done for us, and we're celebrating that today. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. No man can know it. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me. But that's a personal prayer. Amen. Lord, show them what's wrong with themselves. No, show me what's wrong with me, and then I can help somebody. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. I'm going to read three verses that are deceptive, that cause that in our lives. Galatians 6, 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let's put that in a spiritual context. Without Him, I can do nothing. Nothing. With Him, I can do all things. We are not going to accomplish something for the Lord unless God does it. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we're doers of the word because of that. But here it is again. If a man think himself to be something, and when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You want to be wise? You ask God. Amen. He's wisdom incarnate. Remember Solomon said, I don't know how to go out and come in. I'm like a little babe. You give me wisdom. God gave him wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And in 1 Corinthians, in the first few chapters, the Bible talks about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. Here it is again. If I can find it. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Amen. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Self-deception. And so you look at pride, and you look at lack of wisdom or worldly wisdom, and only a hearer of the word, and that leads to deception. So we have to look inside, and the only way you can do that is with God's help, with His word. You open the word, God speak to me, and He does. He speaks to you from His word. The purpose of the message today is Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Not then said I, here are they, send them. Amen? That's a little joke there. I wanted you to catch that. But it's not about what will this man do. It's what will I do. Amen? And though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. That's what Peter said, but he didn't follow through with that. It's important to do this. Revival is manifested by obedience to the word. The will of God is found in the word of God. In Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He gives us so many verses like that. Just praise God. Well, I have nothing to praise God for. You have a lot to praise God for. If you're a Christian, you have a lot to praise God for. Amen. Yeah, but my car's broke down. Yeah, but you know the Lord. Amen. All those things. We're ill. My illness is very bad. Yeah, but there's heaven. Heaven is our home. And so all of those things. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. That's Revelation and the seven churches. Here, I hear a word behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. By the word of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can see this all through the scriptures where God leads us just through the word. Here am I, send me. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. This is a sermon that Jesus preached. I wish we could take the time and preach it or read it all. But it's a great chapter, Matthew 23, 23. Jesus said this, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. There are some things that are good to do, and we do those things. But the weightier matters, judgment, mercy, and faith. It's not about look what I've done. Sometimes it's about look what I haven't done. And God needs to work in our lives. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's the weightier matter. Amen? It's not about church attendance. It's not about doing this or doing that or giving money or anything like that. It's about, do you have a heart for God? Do you love mercy? Do you walk humbly before God? Because that's where He can speak to us. Amen? And I want God to speak to me. Every time I preach, I want God to speak to me. Linda said to me this morning, that's my wife, she said, do you know what you're preaching yet? Because sometimes I don't. Amen? And I said, yeah. And we began to talk, and I said, my messages, I get my messages together because that's what God is speaking to me about. And then I share it. If my cup's running over, you're going to get something out of it. And that's what the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a great psalm, amen? But it's something that God's doing for me. So I'm up here having a good time. I'll wake you up when we're all done, and we'll go eat, amen? But I get something out of these messages. The Lord is speaking to me. He's speaking to me. We'll see that in just a minute. He has showed me, O man, the weightier matters. The greatest of these is charity. That's love in action. And there's a long list in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about that. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. And the what shall this man do? So, if something needs done for the Lord and nobody else will do it, will you do it? Or is it, well, boy, they're not getting anything done for the Lord. See the point? Because it takes your focus away from yourself. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. They made me a keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. It's real easy to see what's wrong in somebody else, and it's real easy to go to work there. But I'm the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyards have I not kept. Let's say your neighbor, let's say you don't like dandelions in your yard. Amen? You don't like dandelions. And you see your neighbor has probably 50 dandelions in his yard. And it's really irking you. Of course, you've got 100 in your yard. Amen? They just haven't come up yet, maybe. And, pull your own weeds. Amen? You ever start getting irritated by somebody and God says to you, well, you've done that. You know, it's just the focus goes to somebody else because that's what we want to do. Plant your own seed. Amen. Boy, the pastor's message today. I didn't get a thing out of it. He hardly used any Bible. And man, I mean, I'm just drying up. Like, just go home and read a couple chapters in the Bible and you'll spring back to life. Amen. It's the Word of God. Plant your own seed. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. Well, let me read 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is the Apostle Paul. Great, great preacher. Amen? You read the epistles. He started all those churches. I mean, wrote most of the New Testament. Just a tremendous preacher. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I always have to examine my heart before I preach and after I preach. I heard a preacher say one time, make an altar before the victory and make an altar after the victory. Romans 2:21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest, a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Sometimes we do the same thing we're telling somebody else not to do. We do that a lot with kids. Don't we do that with kids? We tell kids what to do. No, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, where did they learn that, mom and dad? You shouldn't have that kind of an attitude. No, you tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. No, you tell him and mean it. I'm sorry. No, you're not there yet. You tell him you mean it. You're sorry. I'm sorry. And they do their best they can, you know. We adults, we've just learned how to do that. You've learned how to look nice, but not be nice. Amen? Okay, that's another message. That's another message. Ecclesiastes 7:22. I love this. I love this principle in the scripture. Don't get so mad. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but don't get so mad when you hear somebody talking about you. Here's the verse. Verse 22. For oftentimes also in thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. We talk about people. They talk about us. We talk about them. I mean, it's there, isn't it? And you have to fight that. Maybe I need to go and look at that thing on the bulletin board again. Sometimes, well, boy, I got a lot more Bible illustration. Psalm 73, the psalmist said, how foolish those people are, that all they're doing is putting wealth together, and they're not doing anything for the Lord, and this happens and that happens. But then he says, how foolish was I? I have a home in heaven. Why would that even trouble me? You have Luke 18 that we just read. God, I'm thankful I'm not as this man is. Don't be so concerned about that man. Be concerned about you. And then we have John chapter 8. Let's turn over there. And this will be the message. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and the grace of God is there for anybody who wants it. It's called a throne of grace. It's called a mercy seat. We can come and we can get something from the Lord at all times. We come to church to hear the word of God, to praise Him, but we come to church to learn the Bible, to get us closer to the Lord. We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We want to serve Him. This is John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Boy, that's a great day. The prodigal came to himself. Amen. Then he came home. You can't make people do this. You can't make people get saved. You can't make people get right. It has to be their own conscience. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I think those last words are important. Go and sin no more. That there was forgiveness. There's forgiveness for anything. Amen? God will forgive you. And that's a blessing to all of us here. In Job chapter 42, Job said this, I have heard of thee. This is at the end of the book of Job. You know all the trials that he went through. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eyes seeth thee. Here's the vision of Isaiah. I've heard of thee, now mine eyes seeth thee. I've seen the King high and lifted up. And he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, now mine eyes seeth thee. Therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. I abhor myself. I neglected to say that. I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. You say, well, Christians aren't supposed to hate themselves. Well, we hate the sin that's in us. Amen. And that's strong language in the Bible, strong language, where we need to make sin so hateful, so despised, that when we see it in our life, we cast it down. But the worst, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's the Lord's Supper. Just a minute, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to partake of the elements and thank God for it. But while we do it, let's think about what they mean. Amen. When you have the Lord's Supper every month like we do, sometimes it loses its importance. It's just something else to do and to be spiritual or to be holy. But God wants us to really think about this today. He died for you. That nobody else, He died for you. And we're going to honor and praise Him today for that. Let's bow our heads, please.